Good morning, and welcome to our service here at Newport-on-Tay, Church of Scotland. As Amos, our minister, is on leave, it has fallen to myself, a member of our worship team, to lead us in worship this morning. To our congregation in church, particularly any visitors in our midst this morning, our fellow worshippers, joining with us online via Zoom, or those viewing a recording of this service at a later date, we bid you a warm welcome. And we trust that you will find true friendship and fellowship in our midst this morning, be it actual, physical, or virtual. Our weekly intimations are as posted in the order of service. After the service, those in church are warmly invited to continue in fellowship over a tea or coffee or ship's biscuit. I drop that in. You may have gathered a little bit about the theme of today by joining us through the link corridor in our church hall. In a moment of silence, let us prepare ourselves for worship, leaving behind the concerns of the past week, as we prepare to welcome and meet with the Lord our God, learning more from his holy word and singing praises to his glorious name. Our call to worship this morning is taken from Psalm 51, reading verses 10 to 12. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Let us begin our worship this morning by participating in some Hebridean hopscotch as we leave behind the island of Lismore, the melody for our introit, and we now head over the sea to Skye. Let us stand and sing hymn 600, Spirit of God, unseen as the wind.
Thank you.
Let us pray. For the beauty and bounty of creation, through the fruit-laden orchards and berry-strewn hedgerows, the safely gathered harvest and the trawler man's catch. God, we praise you. Saviour Jesus, we see your love stretched out upon a cruel cross. We stand in awe at your selfless sacrifice. Your abundant love poured out for all humankind. For your perfect example of how we should live together in harmony as caring, sharing, and loving communities, part of the world, not apart from it. Jesus, our Saviour and Redeemer, we praise you. Holy Spirit, we see your power in lives transformed, hearts on fire. We listen for your still, small voice, comforting, guiding, gently prompting in the wind. May we remain alert and obedient to its calling. Holy Spirit, gift of grace, we praise you. Trinity God, of healing and wholeness, we bring our brokenness, our sinfulness, our fears and despair, and lay them before you. We hold out hearts and hands, minds and souls, to feel your redeeming touch and know the peace that only you can bring. We come seeking forgiveness for the times when we have loved ourselves and forgotten our neighbor, when we stubbornly thought we were right and ignored the reasoned voice, when we voiced harsh words of judgment instead of gentle words of support and encouragement, when we have acted in haste and without thought, embarrassing and hurting others. Forgive us, Lord, and create in us a clear heart, we pray. Heavenly Father, free us from our fears and burdens. Forgive us our sins and hesitation to share your love. Cleanse us, we pray. Bathe us all in your truth and mercy, that we may be open to and guided by the Holy Spirit to follow your Son, in whose words we now pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now, do we have any children in church who would like to come down to the front? Good morning. Well, it's great to see you all. For those who've gone to school this week, how has it been? A good week? You were glad to get back? Fed up with these boring summer holidays? Well, I've no doubt you can all play a game called I Spy. But I want you this morning to try and spy something that you might see on the River Tay. The remains of the broken bridge, yes. But this item is actually in church this morning. What do you see when you look at, yes? What is it? A boat up there. Ah, what kind of boat is it? It has sails, so sometimes it's called a sailboat. It is also properly known as a yacht. So, that is the yacht. Now, when my two sons were on their summer holidays, their favourite activity was to sail their toy yachts in the pond, in the park. They would put them in at one side and run round to the other, and the yachts would come to them. Then they would send them in another direction, and they could spend hours playing in the pond. However, one day, they launched their yacht and they moved to the middle of the pond, and there they sat. They did nothing, just a little bob up and down in the water. And so, in frustration, they took off their sneakers and they took off their socks and they waded in to retrieve their yachts. Now, why didn't the yachts move? The propellers, well, interestingly, a proper yacht wouldn't have a propeller. It has sails to give it power, but it needs the sails to catch something. Yes, the wind. You think it's the wind? Yeah, you're not sure? Come on, all over to this side of the church. We're going to do an experiment. Now, if you sit down, just on this side, excellent. Now, what I've got is two little ponds and two little boats. And what I need are two volunteers. Okay, up you come. And if you'd like to come and stand over on this side. Now, I've got two roles. Who would like to be the captain of the yacht? Okay, you'd like to be the captain. Excellent. Well, to make you look a little bit more official, can I ask you to put this captain's hat on? Can we put that on? Excellent. Perfect fit. You'll grow into it. Now, what I'd like you to do is put the two yachts into the water. Gently into the water. That's it. Okay. And that's fine. Now, we'll stand back and we'll just watch them. They're not going very far, are they? What's missing? The wind. How do we get wind in here? Well, first of all, you're going to have to be the wind. But we're just going to call you the weatherman. So, we've got for you wind. Now, if you would like to stand at this end and just blow it along, and we'll see what the boats do. Ah, and then if you come to this end, you can send them back along again. Okay. So, thank you. That's it. So there we are. It was the wind. The boats needed the wind. Okay, can I ask you all to come back down again? Sit at the bottom. Good boy. I'll take that away from you. And one day you'll grow into that for sure. So, what we discovered was the yachts needed a helping hand. Now, there are times in life when we get stranded, when we get stuck, and indeed, Jesus' disciples were concerned. What would happen when Jesus was going to ascend to heaven and leave them? They were worried. But Jesus said, "Don't be alarmed, because I am going to send you a helper, someone who will remain with you and be there to guide and support you." Now, this helper has another name. Can anyone remember what this name is? It's the third part of the Trinity. We have God, we have Jesus, and we have the Holy Spirit. Now, how did the Holy Spirit come down to earth? Can you remember what happened at a time called Pentecost? Yes? No? The Holy Spirit came down on the wind. There was a mighty wind, and the Holy Spirit came down, and then tongues of fire were seen, and the people were able to speak in different tongues, in many languages. So the wind brought the Holy Spirit. So we've seen today that when we have a wind, then the little yacht can move in the direction that the wind is sending them. That's when it takes a skilled navigator or sailor to use the wind and his sails and his tiller to get to his destination. But what of us in life? We have the wind, the power of the Holy Spirit, and it wants us to travel in God's direction. And it will remain with us to support us and help us to get to wherever God wants us to reach. So, next time you see a sailing boat and its sails billowing and the wind pushing it fast across the River Tay, then just think, the wind of the Holy Spirit wants to do that to you as well. But not send you down to Broughty Ferry or up to Balmerino, but to follow the direction that he has chosen for you in your life. So let us say a little prayer. Dear God, thank you for providing all that we need in life. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, our helper and our comforter. Help us to trust in you and rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us and sustain us and protect us. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. Now, we're going to sing the children's hymn, which today is All Over the World. But before we do so, I'm reminded that Catherine wants to make a short announcement.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Just a wee announcement. One of our church members who's grown up in the church got married yesterday. Gillian Campbell married her best friend, Jake. So just to let you know, I've got a card, and if anyone wants to sign it with well wishes, it'll be through at coffee. And the other thing I want to do was birthday blessings. Has anybody had a birthday over the summer? Yeah? Come on then, whoever. If there's more than one, that's quite all right. You too? Right, you've got to come and stand up nice and tall so everyone can see you. Okay. What is your name?
George.
Hi, George. What's your name?
Bruce.
And how old were you on your birthday?
4.
Wow.
10.
Oh, my goodness. And George, do you go to nursery?
Yeah.
What's your favourite thing to do at nursery?
I don't know.
And do you have some big sisters you like to play with at home?
Yeah.
Yeah? What do you like to do with them?
I don't know.
Well, I've been over at your house and I know you've got lots of fun things.
Yeah.
And what class are you in, Grace?
Primary 6.
Oh my goodness. What do you like to do at school or at home?
I like doing PE. And at home, I go to a dance class. Oh yeah, I do to dams.
Very much in the family with this one. So I just want to say a prayer over these guys. Okay, let us pray. Father God, thank you so much for George. Thank you for getting him to turn 4 to celebrate with his friends and family. Thank you that he brings so much joy and life to everyone who knows him, that he's got the most biggest, beautiful smile, and that he is so committed to coming to church, spend time with you, with his family. And Lord, we pray for Grace. What an amazing young lady we have growing, getting to know you. Thank you that she's so committed to her dancing and her acting, that she likes PE, and she's got really strong friendships in the folks she knows. And we'll pray this in your name. Amen. Right, sorry, Hannah, I forgot to prepare you for that. Are we okay to sing Happy Birthday?
Thank you, Catherine. From Junior Praise, number 5, All Over the World, the Spirit is Moving.
Thank you.
Our first reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, reading from verses 15 to 26. And our readings this morning are taken from the International Children's Bible and are shown on the projector screen. The promise of the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will do things I command. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. He will give you this helper to be with you forever. The helper is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it does not see him or know him, but you know him. He lives with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you all alone like orphans. I will come back to you. In a little while, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live too. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father. You will know that you are in me, and I am in you. He who knows my commands and obeys them is the one who loves me. And my Father will love him who loves me. I will love him and will show myself to him. Then Judas said, "But Lord, why do you plan to show yourself to us, but not to the world?" Jesus answered, "If anyone loves me, then he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not obey my teaching. This teaching that you hear is not really mine. It is from my Father who sent me. I have told you all these things while I am with you, but the Helper will teach you everything. He will cause you to remember all the things I told you. This Helper is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name." And our second reading is taken from John chapter 20, reading from verses 19 to 23. Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." And our third and final reading comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be the tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Thanks be to God for these readings from his holy word. We continue our worship this morning by singing hymn 607, "The Bright Wind is Blowing, the Bright Wind of Heaven."
Thank you.
Thank you, John, for your reading and the choir for the anthem. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that the words on my tongue, the thoughts in our mind, and the meditations of our hearts are worthy unto you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. In my secondary school years at Bell Baxter High School in Cooper, I used to enjoy cross-country running and was captain of the school team. This was obviously an earlier, slimmer, aerodynamically more honed model than I carry today. For those of you familiar with Cooper, and possibly as alumni, the route itself. Our weekly training circuit took us westwards, out beyond the berry fields adjacent to the school, then on to the village of Strathedon, before dropping down through the grounds of the hospital bearing the same name. It was only then, as we approached the hamlet of Cooper Muir on our return leg, that the immensity of the task that lay before us began to materialise. The old adage, what goes up must come down, or in its counter form, what goes down must come up again, served as a poignant reminder. Initial fears of trepidation soon gave way to physical pain and mental anguish, all accompanied by the loud beating of your heart as you headed up the aptly named incline Drum Road. As the road rose even steeper, breathing became increasingly difficult. It was then, in utter desperation, that you searched for the restorative and rejuvenating second breath. That extra lung capacity that miraculously manifests itself and comes to your aid as, in athletic parlance, you hit the wall, somehow re-energizing and sustaining you through to the completion of the run. Scientists still do not fully understand the many mental, physiological, and metabolic factors which combine to deliver the phenomenon of a second wind. But it can be reassuringly available to help in times of greatest need. Now, I wonder if you've ever had such an experience, when the very last ounces of your energy reserves are just about to fade away. Your thoughts become increasingly confused. Then, just as total fatigue is about to set in and chaos looms, amazingly, you catch your second wind. A restorative and sustaining gift of breath, and a sense of calm and order is quickly restored. This morning, I would like to adopt this concept as the theme for my sermon by considering God's sustaining gift of a second breath. The Bible is rich in symbolism, and one of the most versatile and powerful symbols found throughout Scripture is the concept of the wind. In both the Old and New Testaments, the wind is used to convey numerous meanings, from the presence and power of God — we think of the storm and the whisper, Elijah in the cave — to the forces of change — we think about the divine judgment of Job — and the movement of the Holy Spirit, as witnessed at Pentecost. The Hebrew word ruach and the Greek word pneuma encompass not only the wind, but also represent in Scripture both breath and spirit, illustrating their deep interconnection and interchangeability within many passages in the Bible. A second breath or wind, however, by definition, presumes that a first breath or wind has already been evidenced or witnessed. So let us firstly remind ourselves of God's first earthly breath. As part of the creation story in Genesis 2, verse 7, we learn, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." Here, in the most distinct manner, God shows us firstly that man is a compound being having a distinct body and a soul created separately. The body out of the dust of the earth, the soul breathed from God himself. And secondly, that this breath was the gift of life, God's first breath to activate and animate humankind to become a living being. There is no clearer image than this of God's desire to impart his own life into man, who is made in his own image and likeness. In today's readings from John's Gospel and the Acts of the Apostles, we learn of two further instances about the gift of another breath or wind, God's second breath. Firstly, specifically for the disciples, and then for all of humanity, including everyone both here or listening online today. In John chapter 14, verse 18, Jesus is found comforting his disciples ahead of his impending death, and as they were later to find out, his subsequent resurrection and ascension. Jesus assures them they will not be left alone on their continuing journey of faith. "I will not leave you alone like orphans. I will come back to you." He also promises to send them another helper, one who will come alongside them in their spiritual walk, a divine presence to comfort, guide, and empower them. From John 14, verse 16, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. He will give you this helper to be with you forever." It's important to note that Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as another helper, signifying that the disciples had already benefited from the physical presence and the teachings of Jesus himself. However, the promise of the Holy Spirit reassures them that this divine presence will continue to remain with them and dwell with them, even after Jesus' physical departure from this world. Later, in John chapter 20, as promised, Jesus meets again with his fearful, weary, and dejected disciples. Little did they and the world know at this time that this room of despondent and disheartened people who appear like a forlorn and defeated army will ultimately turn the world upside down. Undoubtedly, they are perplexed by the potential consequences of Jesus' death and are hiding behind locked doors for fear of further reprisal by the Jewish leaders. Jesus, however, came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hand and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. He greeted them again and discharged their great commission to continue his work on earth by spreading the good news, in effect, establishing and growing the Christian church. But then he did something astonishing. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It is clear that John made a deliberate connection between Jesus breathing on the disciples and the earlier creation event when God breathed life into man. This was a work of recreation. Even as God breathed life into the first man, this is where the disciples were effectively born again, as Jesus breathed spiritual life into them. This commissioning marked the transition from disciples to apostles and was accompanied by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, energizing and empowering them for this new role. They were no longer followers, no longer learners, but ambassadors and leaders responsible for spreading the good news of Jesus. So how did the rest of humanity receive God's wind of rebirth? The answer was, of course, revealed at Pentecost, when the gift of the second wind or breath came to a wider audience, for all who would recognize and accept it. And that includes us today. This was the moment when God fulfilled his ancient promise recorded in Joel, verse 28, chapter 2. "I will pour out my spirit on all people." God knew all along that people would need a second wind. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. Having used the first wind or breath in Genesis to give life, God now sends his second wind or breath to grant divine heavenly empowerment. From Acts 1 verse 8 we read, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So just as we can receive a second physical breath or wind as we tire and approach exhaustion, God's second breath rejuvenates us spiritually and empowers us and sustains us. We become born again with the Holy Spirit transforming our hearts from indifference and hostility to a love of God and a desire for righteousness and holiness. Our first birth gave us physical life. This new birth gives us spiritual life and membership into God's family. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. This divine promise extends to all believers throughout history, including those of us gathered here today or listening online, the believer and the inquirer alike. And it is available to everyone who is prepared to trust and believe in his name. The opportunity to be born again, born of God, by allowing the Holy Spirit to enter into our hearts and minds, to guide and discern all decision-making and actions taken in life. Let us open our hearts to grasp the profound truth that the Holy Spirit is not merely a theological concept, but a living reality that desires to transform and empower us. The Holy Spirit yearns to be intimately involved in every aspect of our lives, providing us with wisdom, strength, and divine direction, revealing the profound truth of God's word to us, empowering us for service, and manifesting the character of Christ through us. You, however, are controlled not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Romans 8, verse 9. But we belong to Christ. So let us therefore allow the Holy Spirit to enter in, to convict, to teach, and lead us in all truth. Let us surrender our plans and desires to the Holy Spirit's direction, trusting in his wisdom and guidance, inviting the Holy Spirit to empower us for service in God's kingdom, recognizing that we are not alone in our endeavors, but that the Holy Spirit remains with us and within us, equipping and empowering us to fulfill God's purposes. Therefore, let us rely on his strength rather than our own as we step out in faith and obedience. And in times when the world is seemingly closing in on us, when our mind falters and our fears arise, remember, we are not alone. Like the disciples, dejected and despondent in that locked room, we are not orphans, nor are we adrift, forgotten and becalmed, like my children's yacht in that play park pond. God's second breath, the Holy Spirit, is waiting to fill our sails and guide us safely forward on our journey of witness, to sustain us through this life until a time when we become reunited with all those who have gone before in his glorious heavenly kingdom. Breathe on us all, breath of God, Let your Holy Spirit, like the wind, enter into our lives, and may we be reborn and renewed to fulfill your chosen purpose for each and every one of us in this place. This journey, however, isn't passive. Like the sailor who must use the wind and his navigation skills to progress his journey, we too must respond to the Holy Spirit to progress our development and witness. Responding by studying Scripture, praying, staying in fellowship with one another, confessing our sin, and being sensitive and responsive to the Spirit's promptings. Let us therefore cast off all earthly anchors, everything that holds us back, and let the wind of God fill our sails, renewing and transforming us as we navigate the unpredictable seas of life. Guided and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, God's sustaining gift of second breath. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the Holy Spirit continue to empower us, comfort us in times of trouble, and lead us into a deeper understanding of your truth. May we walk in love, obedience, and dependence on the Holy Spirit, and may our lives be a reflection of his transforming work within us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. To serve as a reminder of the power and contribution of the Holy Spirit in our lives and as a focus to our daily prayers, I have left some small origami sailboat at the front and the back of the church. Please feel free to take one to help you with your prayers. Let us now stand and sing from CH4, number 596, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. Let us pray. Our prayer of dedication. Heavenly Father, our hearts overflow with thanksgiving, for you are a great and generous God and have provided all we need to sustain us. The ultimate gift of your Son has provided our salvation, and your indwelling Holy Spirit supplies our every spiritual need. Accept these financial offerings we bring before you today to further your witness here and elsewhere, accompanied by our willingness to use our many gifts and talents to serve your purpose in this place. Amen. Let us bring before God our prayers of intercession, our concerns for ourselves, your church, and the world in which we live. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are already aware of our unique personal burdens in life, those things which we cannot or will not resolve or release. Help us now to submit them to you, that we may become more able to freely walk the personal spiritual pathway you would have us follow. We pray for relationships within our families, within this congregation, and in the wider community. May we forever be supportive of one another, sharing burdens and responsibilities, lightening the load for each other on life's often tortuous journey. May our trust in you never waver, Lord, and our faith to follow you never falter. We pray for your church, its unity and survival in an increasingly secular world. We pray for our minister and our cluster as we learn to share diminishing resources and worship together. May differences in worship style and practices be acknowledged and accepted, and may the love of Jesus Christ be the bond that brings us together in unity of purpose and witness. We pray for our brothers and sisters, challenged and persecuted for worshipping you, Lord. Guard and defend them. Enlighten their persecutors and bring about tolerance and a freedom to worship wherever in the world they may be. We pray for your created world and the diversity of both habitat and inhabitant, where difference or culture, belief or skin color promotes suspicion and leads to division and hostility. We pray for peace and unity throughout the world. In areas of conflict, let there be resolution and long-standing peace. We pray for the war in Ukraine and Palestine, for the civil wars in Myanmar, Sudan, Ethiopia, Syria, and Nigeria. And the terrorist insurgency within Burkina Faso, Mali, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and the Cameroon. Where natural disasters have struck and people have been displaced, let there be continued global support to rebuild homes. relationships, and livelihoods, providing a secure and sustainable future for all refugees. We pray for our planet, Lord. We have failed in our duty as custodians to watch over it, causing industrial pollution, forest burning, and the dumping of waste, to turn the land, air, and sea into hostile environments for the animals, birds, and fishes you provided to share the earth with. We pray that governments throughout the world may heed the concerns of our earth scientists by promoting policies and practices to arrest the causes of climate change and minimize the effects of global warming. Heavenly Father, we bring before you all those who are afflicted by physical, emotional, or mental illness at this time. Comfort them and strengthen and support all who care for them. We thank you for the skills and dedication of our medical teams, our doctors, surgeons, anaesthetists, nurses, physiotherapists, and care staff who deliver the very best of health care, emulating your loving and healing hand. We pray that through the lonely times and in their pain, all in anguish will keep their eyes fixed on you, and you will watch over them and give them the courage they need to endure the suffering and discomfort, ultimately leading them through to a full recovery and rehabilitation. Lord, we pray that you are able to provide solace and inspiration to those who feel detached from you at this moment, those who feel that you may not be present in their daily lives or find it difficult to turn their thoughts towards you. We pray that they are able to once again experience your ever-present and glorifying nature and realize that you had never really left them, but were always there, waiting. Lord, in the stillness of our hearts, we bring before you those known to us in need of your healing and compassionate hand. Holy God, who reigns on high, surrounded by those who have served you faithfully across the generations, please welcome into your eternal presence all those who have passed away recently, and help us to draw on the stories of their witness to inspire our own journey of faith. Heavenly Father, comfort those who are approaching the end of their days on earth. Bless them and reassure them of the peace and glory that awaits them in your eternal heavenly kingdom. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn from CH4, 622. We sing a love that sets all people free. May the power of the Father, the love of the Son, and the presence of the Holy Spirit gladden our hearts and sustain us in our witness this day and forevermore.